An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. In today's episode, I'll be joined by Project Spurs writer Benjamin Bornstein to discuss the NBA draft for the San Antonio Spurs next Wednesday and Thursday. Let's go to jump right into this episode. Ben, how are you doing?
I am great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, man. Hey, you know what it is? It's time for the draft. It's less than a week away now. You and I are recording this on Thursday afternoon for me, Thursday evening from where you're at. So let's jump right into here. So let's first talk. We're going to go in sections here. We're going to talk about prospects kind of in that fourth pick range. We'll talk about some prospects in the eighth pick range. And then for the second round, because there's so many players all over the place in the second round, we'll just kind of just pinpoint some players that interest us. Okay, so let's first begin with the fourth pick. So the Spurs do have the fourth pick in the opening round. The Atlanta Hawks are first. The Washington Wizards are second, and the Houston Rockets are third. So that's something to keep in mind as we talk about some of these players. Let's first begin with Zachary Risacher from France. He's 6'9" from JL Borg. He's going to be 19 when next season starts. Right now, almost every mock has him as first. He's kind of moved up ahead of Alexander Sarr. But there's still some questions about whether or not Atlanta's going to take him there. We do know that the Spurs do have interest with him. He's actually supposed to work out with San Antonio on Friday, despite them being in the fourth slot. So there's been different reporting here of maybe the Spurs want to trade up, maybe trade 4 and 8 to try to get number one, or maybe trade 4 and Atlanta's 2025 first round pick to get number one, or even just hope that he falls to 4. Out of those three categories, what do you think they should do if they really want Risacher? Which option would you pick, A, B, or C there?
I've said this, I feel like, everywhere, anyone who's ever asked me about this draft. This is not a draft where you trade away future assets or even trade away assets in this draft to go up and get anybody. There is nobody worth going up and trying to get at the 1, 2, or 3 pick. The Spurs should probably just hope he falls to 4, see what happens. If he doesn't fall to 4, okay, there are other guys at 4 that will fit what they need. You know, they don't, the Spurs, being as bad as they were, don't need just one kind of player. So they'll have plenty of options as to who they can grab in this draft.
Okay.
And personally, for me, if I'm the Spurs and I made that DeJounte Murray trade, and I got all those picks from Atlanta, There is no way I'm giving those picks back to Atlanta without getting something much heftier in return. You don't give a team its picks back. You don't reward a team for making bad decisions. I mean, the Spurs were going to find a way to trade DeJounte Murray one way or another. They were going to get something for him. But what Atlanta gave the Spurs was probably the best package they were going to see. So to give the Hawks back 1 picks and 2 any sort of hope after an abysmal 1 or 2 seasons, no thanks. I'm good. I'm not going to help the Hawks out in any way whatsoever for any reason. This will not be a Kevin Costner draft day scenario. I refuse to allow that to happen.
Okay, so I'm with you there where – Unless you're absolutely, absolutely sold on what Zachary Risacher is going to turn into, then maybe I look at that 4 and 8. But again, I'm right now, from what I've seen, I'm not sold. I wouldn't do it either. I wouldn't trade up to try to get him. I'm definitely the biggest one I'm staying away from is that one where Atlanta wants their own pick back. Of course they want their own pick back, like you just said there. No, I would definitely not do that one either if having to give them their 2025. And so like you, I agree here. Maybe just hope he falls to 4. If you're really interested in him, just hope he falls to 4. Because like we've kind of talked about with all of these prospects in the lottery range, they all, you know, yes, they all have one really good skill set, but then there's also a drawback on almost every single one of these prospects. No one's just like an all-around really, really good player in these top, you know, 14, 10, 10 kind of players. All right, let's move on to the next player. Reed Sheppard, 6'2" point guard out of Kentucky. He's going to be 20 when the season starts. Right now, most mocks have him going third to Houston, so his mock average is about 3.6. We do know that the Spurs have interest in him. They did work him out. You know, with Sheppard, same thing. Should they try to move up, or should they just try to hope that he falls to 4? What are your thoughts on him?
That's, I mean, yeah, you're talking about he's probably going to get taken at 3 at the earliest. Let him try and see if he'll drop, especially if you're saying his average is at 3.6 across mock draft boards. He's a great player. I think the fit with Houston is weird because they got one of the Thompson twins to try and be a point guard maybe, and Reed Sheppard is very much a point guard. He's not big enough to play shooting guard, although he does shoot the ball very well. He runs an offense very well. And there were times when, you know, Kentucky was out there last season, just they looked completely lost when he was off the court.
Yes.
They had no idea how to run sets. They had no idea what they were doing. The second he steps on the court, something good happened. He makes good things happen, whether that's offensively or defensively. And defensively, I think he'll be okay. He might be a little J.J. Redick-esque in that when he comes into the league, he might be a step slow, but I think he can get there. I don't think it'll take as long for him to get out of a doghouse, because I don't know if you remember, but when Stan Van Gundy was the coach of the Orlando Magic, J.J. Redick played very sparingly that first year or so. And once he finally caught up, got a little faster, was able to not be a total black hole on defense, got a lot more playing time. He looked very good. So I think Reed Sheppard has the opportunity to do that. I don't think it'll take him as long to figure it out. I think his shooting may not be as good, although he does have great shooting splits on what I would call semi-volume. Mm-hmm. And he was playing in basically a systemless team that Coach Calipari, I've said this before many times, Coach Calipari, great recruiting talent, develops talent very well, not great with X's and O's on the court. I'm convinced of that. And so I think that hampers his players at times. And I think Reed Sheppard, even despite kind of being held back by no real system to play in or no real set plays to run, made that offense move. And I think that you have to give him a lot of credit for that.
Okay. I'm high on him as well, but again, I'm like you, where I wouldn't trade, you know, two firsts to go and get him. So maybe if Houston looked at something like maybe like 4 and 30, 35 or 4 and 48, maybe it's something like that, a first and a second, maybe that if the Spurs are really sold on Sheppard, then maybe they do that. But again, I think the best hope for San Antonio just hopes that he falls there to 4 for them. Next player.
In that same vein, If they do go up and do that and they say, we'll give you the 4 and we'll give you our second round pick this year, I think that also signals that the Spurs are interested in really going after someone in free agency, because they're then saying, we're not interested in filling more roster spots. We're going to give up 2 spots for 1 and we'll keep the 8. So we've given up 1 roster spot. Yes, it's a second round pick, and yes, you don't have to guarantee their contract, but I think it's still possibly a signal that, okay, the Spurs want to get serious about finding someone in free agency and surround that young talent with a proven player.
Okay. Next player is Stephon Castle out of UConn, 6'6", age 19 when the NBA season starts. His mock average is almost perfect to the Spurs. It's at 4.5. I mean, you look at the mock board and almost everybody has him going number 4 to San Antonio. He's basically the favorite of the mock makers, I guess, to go to San Antonio. We do know that the Spurs are very high on him, according to a lot of the reports that have come out, and also that they did work him out as well. So Stephon Castle, really good defensive guard. We know that, you know, he does have an issue with shooting the ball from the outside, but can kind of play create for himself and others. What are your thoughts on him? You know, here they wouldn't have to trade up. I think that should they take him at 4 if he's there? What do you think?
Yes, absolutely. He's a big 6'6 guard. He's talked about he wants to get back to his point guard roots. I think he played some in high school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the shooting splits in college are totally reflective of how good or bad of a shooter he is. I think he's a little better than what his percentages say. He did have some games where he got really hot. And I think if you go back and look at some of his high school tape, you'll see that he shot the ball fairly well from what I remember, but he is phenomenal on defense. He's going to give you 110% effort. Mm-hmm. He's a winner. He is just a winner. He will do whatever is required of him to win basketball games. He was top 10 recruit in his high school recruiting class. He could have gone anywhere he wanted, and he went to UConn knowing that they have other guards, knowing that they have other guys who are going to be competing with him for playing time. And he said, I understand that. I don't care. I want to win games. I will win games if I play for Dan Hurley and UConn. So I think that cannot be understated and should not be. The shooting, I think you can come around on. You can certainly, it may take you a couple years, but you can improve on that. But he's going to be doing everything else exactly the way you want it. And he's going to be, he's going to have a great work ethic about it, I would say. He was working on things even when he was at UConn. He never really got down about playing time. He never, you know, there was never a sniping with coach or anything like that. You know, he just worked harder and he said, if I want to get more playing time, I got to do these other things. He goes out, he rebounds the ball, he defends hard. So I think he will take that up to the NBA level. And I think that's something that the Spurs and Coach Popovich will really appreciate if they draft him at four.
I would just add one more thing too, for just being a 19-year-old kid. I mean, at UConn, I would say too, that he's very composed. Like, he doesn't get rattled. Like, you just see this very, like I was trying to do a comp for him. I saw some different ones going around, and one, like, cause he doesn't play exactly the same position, but he just reminded me a lot of Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's very cool, collected, doesn't really force anything, kind of moves the ball around, gets really into it on defense. So that's kind of the vibes that I got from him when I was watching Stephon Castle. So again, right now it looks like he should be there for the Spurs at four. And like I said, everybody who makes mocks, almost everyone has him as a lock to go there to the Spurs. So we'll kind of see what happens there. All right, the next player is Modest Buzelis, 6'9", out of G League Ignite. He's going to be 19 years old when the season starts. Right now, his mock average is about fifth. Almost everybody has him going to Detroit at fifth. So again, he should be there for the Spurs if when four comes around and if he hasn't got picked yet. What are your thoughts on him? Should they look at him or still stick to Castle or maybe Shepherd they're there before? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, if it's between those three, I'm sticking with Castle, but I do like what Buzelis can bring. I mean, talking 6'9". Pretty athletic, jumps very well. I think the shooting has to come around a bit, because there were times where he looked a little lost on the court, and I think part of that was because the G League Ignite team was very bad, and I don't think they were coached all that well. I mean, they won maybe 10 games in the G League. They're not very good. I mean, the team got disbanded.
Yeah.
After this, that's how bad that program has been. And yes, it's produced a couple of lottery guys, but at the same time, it's felt like those guys have been wholly unprepared to play in the league. So that scares me a little bit. And I, again, with the shooting, and I think there were times where he shrank in some moments, and that's concerning as well. So I would not have him. I mean, if Stephon Castle and Reed Shepherd are both somehow taken already, yeah, you gotta really look at it and figure out as a team, what is it we are looking for? What is it that the Spurs want to draft as far as what are our skill needs? What are positional needs? What are, kind of intangible needs? Does Buzelis fit any of that?
Yeah, no, for sure. And like he's too much of like a project in terms of like, could he like immediately step in and be the four for San Antonio? I don't think so. Not yet. Sohan's probably still going to start, just the fact that he has more experience. So again, that's why I would, unless he falls to eighth, then yes, you take him. But again, I would hold off on four if Castle and Shepherd are still there. I didn't mention these two players, but they should go in the top five. Top eight. Alexander Sars is supposed to go second, and then Donovan Kling is supposed to go sixth. I stayed away from them just because I don't think the Spurs are targeting another big right now. I think they really liked what Wemby did as the five. I think that's what they want to do going forward. And you could try out like the Minnesota model of like one traditional big and then Wemby, or you could just have that big play off the bench, but then you have Zach Collins there. There's all these issues, right? Would you agree they should probably stay away from Kling and Sar for now?
I don't hate the prospect of either of them. Alexander Sar is athletic enough, he can go out on the perimeter and guard a couple guys if needed. I don't hate that at all. Kling, not as much, but Kling is just so big. I mean, he's 7'2". He moves pretty decently at his size, but he's 7'2". He defended really well at UConn, too. I wouldn't hate that pick, but I think at four, it's a reach that you can't afford to take in this draft. If he fell to eight, I'd feel more comfortable with that. At four, not as much.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you there. Again, like if the options there at eight, maybe you do take one of those two players that they fall, which I don't think they are going to fall that far. But yeah, so that's why I didn't really mention them in our first discussion. Okay, now let's go to the eighth pick, the second pick that the Spurs have in this first round. So after San Antonio drafts at four, then it's Detroit at five, Charlotte at six, and then Portland at seven. So then here come the Spurs at eight. There's a bunch of different players here in these ranges. So let's first talk about Cody Williams, 6'7" wing out of Colorado. He's going to be 19 when the season starts. Right now, his mock average is about 7.8, so he can go like as early as seven or even as late as like 12 or 13 on some different mocks. I do know that the Spurs have interest in him in terms of just seeing that they've scouted him before and things like that. What are your thoughts on Cody Williams at eight?
Cody Williams is, I would say, similar to Modest Buzelis in that he's fairly raw.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He showed really nice flashes at Colorado, and he was a big reason why they got to the NCAA tournament. I would also argue Colorado had a few other players on that team that were huge. Tristan Da Silva and yeah. Eddie Lampkin. Eddie Lampkin was literally huge. But that would be kind of an odd pick. I don't think his timeline necessarily lines up with what the Spurs are looking for. But he is an athletic wing who, I don't know if he certainly wouldn't start right away, but he could find some time in the rotation, I think. But he's a bit raw for my liking.
That's me too. I just think he's too raw right now. His skill set too is like he's more of a slashing kind of wing. That's what he likes to do. Get in like he reminds me a lot of Caris LeVert kind of play style. But like, and defensively, it looks like he has the tools there, but he doesn't know, like he hasn't really quite developed how to use them yet. Like his wingspan and his length, things like that. So yeah, I mean, at eight, maybe you can take a little bit of a gamble on a player who's raw and who needs to develop off the bench. Maybe play some games in Austin. But again, there's other options out there that are more ready to go players. So let's talk about one of those ready to go players, and that is Dalton Knecht, 6'5" out of Tennessee. Age, he's a little bit older compared to these other prospects. He's going to be 23 when the season starts. His mock average right now is kind of right there in the Spurs' range at 8.5, so eighth. So this is interesting to me. So like, we're getting all these different rumors about, oh, the Spurs have worked out this guy, and this guy. And then all of a sudden, sometimes San Antonio does this. They'll draft a guy where it stayed quiet that they even worked him out. Like they just kept that out of the press. Like, you know, so there's been no reported workout yet that the Spurs have worked out Knecht. So he's just a player that I'm monitoring. I know that when you came on here a few months ago, you mentioned professional shooter, just really good. Outside shooter, reminds me a lot of like kind of like JJ Redick, a little bit of Klay Thompson kind of vibes from him, those kind of things. What are your thoughts on Knecht maybe at eight?
More athletic than JJ Redick, mm-hmm. That's for sure. Knecht can get up there and dunk, and he'll drive and he can create his own shot. Like you said, I still believe he's a professional shooter. He's going to make some team very happy. And yes, he's older, but I also believe that His experiences have been similar to Derek White in that I think he started at a JUCO, he transferred up to Northern Colorado, and then he transferred up another level to SEC at top-tier SEC team playing for Tennessee. So I think he understands what it takes to get to that next level, which is big. And if he does follow a very Derek White trajectory, that bodes pretty well for him. I think he's a little bit of the opposite, though, in that his offense is farther along than his defense. I think when Derek White was coming out, his defense was farther along than his offense, although he's mm-hmm. obviously much better as an offensive player. With Knecht, it's very much if you need a shooter, that's your guy. And I think it will depend on who they take it for. If they take a big man, if they decide, if Alexander Sarr is still there and they take him, then they would probably be more inclined to take a guy like Knecht because they say, okay, we've taken two different positions at four and eight. We have good balance here.
Yeah, and I just regarding the comment about JJ Redick, one thing that I saw when I was watching tape on him is that he's one of these few prospects who knows how to navigate off-ball screens, like getting flare screens, that kind of, that's where he really reminded me of JJ. He just knows how to get himself open, even though we know that, you know, everyone was focused on him. He was the go-to player for Tennessee. And then one thing I like about him too is he's very confident. Like he's not at the stature of a player like Kevin Durant, but he said like, you know, he models his game after players like Kevin Durant, after Devin Booker. Those are some of his favorite players, you know, growing up and watching how they play the game. He likes to model himself like that as well. I would just say too, if the Spurs are looking out at the free agent market and the wings or even trade market. And it's just too much. You know, KCP, all these different players, Klay Thompson, they're all going to earn $25 million plus. You know, if they don't want to spend that kind of cap space on a shooter who's ready to go, maybe they could look at Connect again at number eight. He, like you said, he's a veteran. He has more experience under his belt. He knows how to play. I think you could even start him there right at the three right away, and he'll provide you some outside shooting for San Antonio. So again, I don't think Connect's a bad option either if the Spurs take him at eight. Next and player
with Connect, you get I like the Klay Thompson vibes. And especially if you know you look in free agency and you say it would be nice to have Klay Thompson, but also Klay Thompson's a little on the older side. Mm-hmm. And if he's going to demand $20 million a year, I'm good. We'll pass this time. And you know, obviously if you're gonna have a guy who you think could be a Klay Thompson or a JJ Redick, and you can get him on a rookie scale contract, probably do that.
Yeah, no, totally agree there. So let's go on to the next player. This guy has really shot up mock boards. This is Tijan Salon from overseas. He's from France. He's a 6'9 out of Cholet. He's barely 18 right now as we speak. He's going to turn 19 before the season starts in August, though. Right now, his mock average is 10th, so he should be there right now at 8. We know that the Spurs have interest in him. They have worked him out. He actually got hurt in a workout with the Spurs or at the Spurs, wherever they worked him out, here at his ankle, but he should be okay by the time the next season starts. What are your thoughts on Salon at number 8?
He is he's a tough one to figure out because he wasn't playing in really a top tier league. But he was playing overseas style of basketball. He's shown good mechanics on his shooting. The numbers aren't quite there right now, but he has a smooth looking stroke. I think there's some upside as a ball handler in transition. But he does play hard. And from what I've seen and read, I think his coaches like him and they really like him as a person, which obviously will go a long way with the Spurs. He's got a great motor. I think it's going to come down to you have to make sure the shooting checks out and that he's going to be able to do some of these other things. I don't know what his weight is. I think he's maybe 6'9 and 220. He may need to put on some weight, get a little stronger if he's going to play on the wing, or if he's going to play some four, probably play on the wing. So that would be my one concern, but I don't think that's a guy I would consider at 8, maybe late lottery, maybe 12.
Okay. 12. So with him, I'm a little intrigued by him because, like I said, he's really young. He's barely going to turn 19 in August. He's basically got the body of a four, but he plays, like you said, as a three. He plays more like just like a small forward out on the wing. His go-to shot is his spot up three. That's what he really likes to do, or like that's like his main go-to skill. He's pretty good about they close out on him. He kind of attacks and can dunk the ball. He's very athletic in that way, but it's not always consistent. He has defensive tools as well, but he's kind of trying to figure out how to use them. So I think with him, if they really took him at 8, it would be because they're going to probably let him be that backup power forward for now and then see what he kind of turns into later on down the road. Can he be a more consistent, player on both ends of the court? And I think even offensively, even though we say, yes, his shot is his go-to thing, he didn't shoot an efficient percentage even at the international level. And we know the NBA 3 is going to be further. So again, I would still probably want to go Connect over him, but if the Spurs are more so interested of a prospect who can play right now off the bench, plus who's going to develop into, who knows what his ceiling could be, then maybe that's why you do give you use the 8th pick on him, where he has a lot more potential down the road if you're the Spurs. All right. The next player is Devin Carter, 6'2 guard out of Providence. He's 22 years old right now, so almost like Connect, a little bit older in this draft. Mock average right now is about 11th. So we do know that the Spurs reportedly like him, and he also has worked out for San Antonio. I'm in the midst of writing about him and kind of watching some tape on him, so I haven't kind of got my full understanding of him. But what are your thoughts on Carter at 8?
I think from what I've heard, he's another high character guy. Mm-hmm. Which is great. I think he does a little bit of everything, but he's a very good defender from what I understand. He likes to get under people's skin, which is nice. A little Jose Alvarado in that sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's the concern is he's not very big. He's 6'2". Mm-hmm. And he's not, I don't think he's super strong. I think he's fairly well built. but he's at eight. I don't know if I feel super comfortable at eight, although the defense really is great. I think he has to improve the shooting, or he has to show that he has the potential to improve the shooting. But I wish he was taller. I wish he was a baller. No. But he would be okay again later in the lottery. I think a lot of people are getting high on him after watching some of what he did, because Providence was just kind of an okay team. They had some nice upset wins, and he was the reason they won those games. Mm-hmm. But overall, they were kind of a hard team to watch. So I don't think a lot of people were watching it during the season, but now that people have had time to review tape and look at those games, they realize, oh, he is a difference maker. And he can, you know, that defense will translate in the NBA. The shooting will be okay. I think he needs to show he can be a little better on the shooting. But it's funny that there's reportedly a lot of interest from the Spurs on him, because, I mean, he does seem like a very Spursy guy, but yeah, I don't
exactly
think. And it may also depend on who they take it for. If they take a big at four, they're probably looking at a wing, or they're looking at a guard at eight, would be my guess, because I know they like Trey Jones, but I imagine they don't want him being the starter for the next few years. They really like him as the backup option and kind of a little bit of a fire starter off the bench. So if they don't take anyone in the draft, I would assume that the Spurs are going to take a look at some free agent point guards this offseason.
Yes. So with me, I haven't finished doing my full write up on him and you know, watching a tape on him. So right now he hasn't pushed himself over like Dalton Connect or maybe like Tijon Salon. I'm still more sold on them than him right now, just because more so it comes down to his size. But again, I'll continue watching. Maybe my mind will change before next week. Next player is Ron Holland, 6'7" out of the G League Ignite as well. He's going to be 19 when the season starts. Right now his mock average is 12. What do you think about Holland at 8?
This one is tough. Before the season started, he was the top pick. Everybody said, it's going to be Ron Holland.
Wow.
There were a lot of people who said Ron Holland will be the number one pick. And then I think as the season went on, people realized, oh, this is not what we thought. Partly because I think he had some injury issues. Mm-hmm. But he is when he's not injured, he is very athletic. I think his issue is shooting as well. I think there were questions about his motor at one point. I don't know if that has been answered. But he looked, if Bouzelis looked lost during the G League, during the Ignite season, he might have looked more lost. There were times where you're just wondering, what are you doing? Overhandling the ball, taking bad shots here and there. Mm-hmm. Is it because the team was bad and he felt he had to? Was it because he just wanted to take the shots? You're not really sure. But that was a guy who was at one point the projected number one pick in this draft. And I don't think he will be taken there. I'm not sure if he'll be taken top 10, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to depend on how some of the medical stuff comes out and how workout. I mean, it always comes down to how workouts go, but he's really going to have to impress in workouts.
Yeah, I put him more so like that Cody Williams kind of range, where even Williams I would have ahead of him, but just very raw player. I mean, very inconsistent. I mean, yeah, he's learning. I mean, especially like you said, the G League Ignite program wasn't really top tier. So again, if I was the Spurs, I'd probably stay away from drafting Holland there at 8. Next player is a player who got injured recently, Nikola Topic, 6'6" out of Red Star, overseas. He's 19 years old right now. He's fallen off the boards. I mean, he was basically like in that Reed Shepard, Rob Dillingham kind of range for a long time, and then once he had that injury recently, he's pretty much fallen down to 12th now. We also know that we don't know the extent of his injury in terms of like after he has surgery, is he going to need to sit out for a full season? Right now, that's kind of what's been heard, is that he might have to redshirt next season, like Chet Holmgren had to do his first rookie year. So there's a chance you may not even see him next year if you draft him. So what are your thoughts on Topic there at 8?
I was really high on Topic before,
me too. Mm-hmm.
Before the injury. I can't remember if they said it was a full tear, if it was a partial tear, but it wasn't good. And I think that is, unfortunately, injuries do that. They're going to cost him quite a few. Actually, I could see with with the season he had and some of the peaks and valleys that he had this past season playing overseas, I could see him taking a tumble because teams are really unsure. I don't wish that upon anyone, but I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
Topić, a guy, pretty solid defender, could be a solid defender, but a tall guard, 6'6", who was running an offense efficiently. He looked good doing that. I think again with him as with many other guys we've talked about, shooting was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't in good conscience consider him at 8. It's such a reach, especially knowing that he's sitting out at least some of the season, and then when he does come back, he's going to need more of the season to get himself back in shape, to get himself back playing, getting his feel back a little bit. I mean, you can throw him in Austin and stuff, but I'm not sure, you know, if you're the number 8 pick, I don't think you expect to play in Austin a whole lot. And that could be contentious.
Yeah, just based on what we've seen in terms of, like, we've seen that the Spurs want to be better next year. They want to start winning, that kind of thing. If that's supposed to be mentioned, that's where the front office is headed, then I don't think they can wait on a player to, like, first of all, like, yes, you know, you hope that he gets back to 100% of where he was, but then also you don't know, he still needs to go through his experience as a rookie in the NBA where he's going to struggle. You know, they're going to, you know, he's got to have his flaws and he's going to miss that whole opportunity if he has to miss half a year or a full year. So I would say, yes, they unfortunately, because of his injury situation, they probably should stay away from Topić. Next player who has also fallen off draft boards, also similar because of injury, is Rob Dillingham, 6'1" out of Kentucky, age 19. Right now, he was, like I said, he was in that Topić, Reed Shepard kind of range early on before, you know, the combine and things like that. But now he's fallen all the way down to 13th. So he's definitely fallen on the mocks. What really hurt him was that he had to sit out the entire combine in Chicago due to an ankle injury. So he wasn't able to work out for teams. He's starting to work out for teams. He finally finished his combine testing. But I think one of the things that hurt him as well is a lot of the measurement stuff came in on him, and a lot of teams got, you know, they got really worried because of his size. He's really small for that position. And then there was even a report from Bleacher Report, Jonathan Wasserman, who kind of does their mock drafts. He wrote that that the Spurs have reportedly signaled to agents that they're looking for a bigger positional prospects there at that point guard position. So again, a 6'1" player like Dillingham, I think even though, yes, he's an explosive kind of scoring guard, combo guard, I think that they're going to probably stay away from him. What are your thoughts on Dillingham?
Yeah, I would imagine they will. I mean, he measured at 6'1". The combine did not do him any favors, unfortunately, even though he really did have a great college freshman season. I mean, he shot 47.5% from the field, almost 80% from the free throw line. And, you know, he was shooting on 4.5 threes a game, he was shooting 44%. I mean, he played really well. And he was a guy when the offense truly broke down and Reed Shepard couldn't get anyone open, he was able to create his own shot. He did that on many occasions. Mm-hmm. And he created buckets out of thin air, out of absolutely nothing, out of, you know, 5 seconds on the shot clock and nothing is working. He manufactured buckets and good looks for himself. And, you know, that is a skill that is very needed in the NBA. And unfortunately, I think, like, his size is a problem for him.
Yeah, so I think that's why we see him, that he's fallen. Again, I think if you're the Spurs, you probably stay away from Dillingham there at number 8. Next player who I'm going to need a little bit more of your help, I haven't got to look at any film on this player or even looked at his stats or anything, is Jacoby Walter, 6'4", out of Baylor. And he's going to be 20 years old when the season starts. The reason why I stayed away from him is because his mock average has kind of been in that like late teens range. Like right now, it's his mock average is 15th, but the Spurs did reportedly work him out. That's why I'm like, oh, okay, so San Antonio has some interest in him. Who is he? And, like, you know, what do you think? I don't know if they would want him with 8, or when maybe the idea of trading back is on the table. I don't know. What are your thoughts on with Walter?
It's funny. He kind of had a Keontae George season when Keontae George was also at Baylor the year prior.
Mm-hmm.
He's known as a shooter. His percentages were not very good, but I think a lot of it was because he had to create shots for himself. He was playing with some other guys who are non-shooters. So he felt the onus was on him to get to create and make a lot of shots. And he didn't always necessarily do that. But he's a solid defender. You can't play at Baylor if you don't play decent defense. So He's a solid defender. He's similar in size to Keyonte George. And, you know, I think the inefficiencies might scare people, but if you look at the tape and you look at a lot of the situations, I'm willing to bet you would find a fair amount of times when he was taking shots with 5 seconds or less on the shot clock. And that's why the percentages may not be very good. That would be my bet. But he's a solid player, but he's not a guy you go and get at 8.
Okay. Like, so maybe just something to watch in terms of if they trade back, like I said, maybe, you know,
again, very, very kind of similar path that Keyonte George also took, because Keyonte George, when he went to Baylor, he was known as a shooter. And Jacoby Walter, when he went to Baylor, was known more as a shooter. And both of them struggled to shoot in their lone season at Baylor. But, you know, Keyonte George had a pretty solid rookie season.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, it's possible that Jacoby Walter does the same.
Okay, and then another player who, again, I'm kind of keeping an eye on in case the Spurs do trade back is Tyler Kolek. The Spurs have reportedly worked him out. He's a 6'1 point guard out of Marquette. Again, his mock average is like late first round, 23rd right now. So what are your thoughts on him? And just kind of keeping on him in case he falls to like the second round or they trade back?
If he falls to second round and they haven't really gotten a point guard, the Spurs should take a shot. Why not? Measuring at 6'1 is brutal because – I mean, everywhere else I saw, he was, I think the team's official website had him at 6'3". Marquette's website had him at 6'3". It's like, oh, that's a solid size. This is good. But I mean, if you're telling me he measured at 6'1 at the combine, I mean, that's brutal because I think he's a really good point guard. He runs the offense at his own pace. You cannot speed him up. You cannot slow him down. He will do what he wants. He was very good for Marquette at times when they needed a bucket, he would go out and get it for him, or he would create for someone else. He was very good at that. And I think one of the reasons he's not really in lottery talk right now, and when I was looking around much earlier, he was kind of in that 28, 34 range. And, you know, I kind of got excited about the prospect of the Spurs maybe grabbing him with their second rounder. But if he's 6'1", you're talking about another small point guard.
Yeah. I think his pick and roll. I also, like you, when I saw him in that second round range kind of range, I did watch some tape on him and I was a little intrigued in terms of his pick and roll play. That would help out. But again, I think he's going to probably get taken in the first round. So I'm looking at, I just pulled up the combine information. So they have him at height without shoes, 6'1.25. So that's why. Yeah. I don't know. Like we talked about before recording. Why do they measure these guys without shoes? I don't understand.
Right. Again, so why bother measuring these dudes without shoes when their entire NBA existence is in shoes?
Yeah.
So. Unless you're Mike Miller and your shoe comes off in a finals game.
Exactly. So Kolek and who is this? Walter, interesting to watch just in case, you know, you never know if the Spurs either maybe trade back or if they, you know, that maybe those two players, or at least Kolek falls second round. All right. So now for the 35th and 48th picks that the Spurs have, these could be all over the place. So I'm not going to really ask you to look at every single one of these prospects. Just kind of give me a few names that kind of stick that are interesting to you, either at 35 or 48. Who do you want to start with?
Where do we want to start? A lot of names you've got here. I mean, I personally love Baylor Shireman. That kid is the epitome of an irrationally confident shooter. Although he has the rationale to be confident because he just hits shots. He hits them deep. He gets them off the dribble. He's great. I love watching Baylor Shireman play basketball.
He's got that lefty kind of shot, that really quick release as a lefty.
Exactly. It's like that quick lefty release. It's beautiful. I love it. So like Baylor Shireman in the second round would be phenomenal. At 35, I think would be great. I think an intriguing pick might be Justin Edwards, just because I don't think we even saw close to what he's capable of doing when he was at Kentucky. He was, again, you're talking about, you know, he was playing in no real system. He was kind of going out there and just trying to do whatever. There was no structure. I think he would benefit from some structure. I mean, he's measured at 6'6". Ridiculous. I thought he was 6'8", but you know, again, without shoes.
Without shoes, yeah. 6'6" without shoes.
So, you know, he's a wing, and he was in high school, he was known as more of a shooter. I think he had some injury issues at Kentucky. So I'd like to see someone take a shot at him just to see what happens. I think he could surprise some teams. You know, if you're looking for kind of a bigger player, you don't really have a whole lot of guys out here. And if somehow he lasts to the second round, I'd love to see Zach Edey, just because that would be incredible. The international Twin Towers would be phenomenal. Canada and France unite. We got Quebec in the house. They're basically French, right? I don't know if that'll actually happen. That would be fantastic, though. A guy who I really liked actually is Jalen Bridges out of Baylor. Again, a guy who's listed at 6'7", without shoes, probably 6'9" in shoes. Mm-hmm. He rebounds the ball very well at his size. You know, I don't know if the Spurs necessarily need that, but I liked watching him play. He plays with great energy, good defender. I liked him. You know, you got a Cam Spencer is a guy. He's listed at 6'3". You'd probably slot him in as a point guard, but you could probably play him a little bit as a combo or a shooting guard even. Mm-hmm. He's on the older side. He'd be ready to contribute right away, I think. He's fearless. I mean, he played big-time ball at Rutgers and then transferred to UConn. Again, another kid, you can say it after the fact, of course. Oh, he's a guy who wanted to win. But, you know, I think if you're attracted to playing for a guy like Dan Hurley, who is incredibly intense and expects 110%, 110% of the time, then I think you can kind of play for anybody. I'm convinced of that. So Cam Spencer made a lot of huge plays during that run in March, not just shooting, not even necessarily rebounding, but a lot of, you know, like gritty, grindy plays. He's on the floor. He's getting extra possessions because he's giving up his body at times. I like him. I think he would be just, even if it's just as a locker room guy, as a, you know, as a guy who challenges people and says, you know, you're better than that. You're stronger than that. I know you can play better than that. I feel like he would be a rookie who was not afraid to do that to other guys.
But what do you think? Here's two names that I want to see what your thoughts are. One of the guys who I would like maybe at 35, if he's there, is Cam Christie, Minnesota, very raw. You know, length, a long wing kind of player, you know, athletic and kind of shoot three a little bit. That's kind of where he's developing skill set. What do you think about him? Just for the fact, maybe you just basically make him play in Austin, see what he turns into, you know, because that's the thing about these second round picks. They're either going to get 2-way contracts or they're going to get that second round pick exception, which could be like, you know, a 1-4 year deal. And the Spurs don't have a lot of roster spots right now. What do you think about him as maybe like a project that you kind of just see what he turns into down the road?
Yeah. I mean, another guy who plays really hard, and I think he's a pretty good defender. I honestly did not watch a lot of Minnesota this year because Minnesota is generally bad.
Oh,
but he was probably the lone, one of the few bright spots on that team. So kudos to him. But yeah, I mean, and here's the thing with the second round guys, you're generally always going to throw them to Austin unless you really just found a diamond in the rough. You're talking about a first round guy who fell for no reason or fell for some stupid reason, whatever. And you say, okay, you are very clearly ready. We have to give you time. We have to give you real playing time. I don't think Cam Christie is that guy.
No. Yeah, I agree with you there.
I think the shot making is there for him, of what little I've seen. But good hard-nosed defender. I think Spurs fans will like him just because of that.
And, you know, a guy, actually a lot of these picks right now in the second round, I see that way in terms of they're going to probably end up in Austin on a 2-way contract kind of situation. So one of the guys that's interesting, the guy you mentioned was a Baylor Shireman. I feel like there is a backup 4 spot there, a hole right now on the roster. And I feel like if he can kind of just, they could see what he turns into early, maybe, you know, he could get some minutes there. So he's like one of the few players. Two other players I did want to ask you on, Ryan Dunn, 6'6" out of Virginia. They would have to get him with the 35th pick. If he's still there right now, it looks like the Knicks are going to get him in the first round. So he may not even be there. Just, you know, can't shoot right now, but really good defensive kind of big/wing. And then also a player who you mentioned a few months ago was Pelle Larsson. I still like him maybe for the 48th pick. What are your thoughts on Dunn and Pelle Larsson?
So Ryan Dunn, like you said, phenomenal defender. I'm pretty sure he was the ACC defensive player of the year. Phenomenal defender. Just disrupts everything around him. you know, cuts off passing lanes, makes life hard for ball handlers. Just you hate, as an offensive player, you hate playing against him. But absolutely, just there is not enough there on offense.
Yeah.
This is much worse than when DeAndre Hunter was coming out of Virginia in his draft. There's almost nothing. And it's infuriating because you're like, this is a kid who plays really hard. He's an excellent defender. He kind of, you know, he embodies everything you love to watch about college basketball. It's not a shoot. And if you're the Spurs, you need a shoot.
Yeah.
Especially that size, I would say. You need a wing. You need someone other than Devin Vassell to go out and make shots.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just not going to be that guy for you.
What about Pella Larsen from Arizona?
Right. Pella Larsen, he's so funny to me. I shouldn't say funny, but he's very middle of the road, kind of jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
Well, at his size, passes pretty decently at his size, shoots okay. Was never the focal point of the offense at Arizona. I think he had a couple big games here and there for the most part, but didn't, you know, he wasn't the main reason games were impacted in the box score, but he did other things that maybe don't show up that help you win games. He's very steady. I think he has a good demeanor about him as well, which is, you know, said that helps as a rookie. But if you got him at the 48th pick, I certainly wouldn't be mad about it.
Yeah. Okay. That's where kind of here's the last wild idea, which of course is not going to happen. If you notice here, Bronny James is on there. He's pretty much almost every mock has him 55 to the Lakers. I mean, that's kind of been the consensus, but it's weird how NBA draft room put him at 50, at 35 to the Spurs. And I was like, when he popped up there, cause I didn't have him on my list, and I was like, he's going to Lakers. I mean, come on. And then they put him in there. So like, you know, just that they're going to offer LeBron the cap space or what? 21. No, I'm just kidding. 21 million.
It would actually be amazing if somebody swooped in and said, we're going to take Bronny James because we know the Lakers are going to want to trade for him because LeBron wants to play with his son 1 year. We're going to make you give us something stupid. Like, we're going to make you give us something absolutely stupid for the second round pick we just chose because you are desperate to have him play with LeBron and keep LeBron in LA. We're going to do that to you and we don't care. I would love to see that.
Yeah.
This league needs to be way more spiteful.
Yeah. So again, I'm not thinking that they're going to do that to Spurs, but it was just funny to me how like I had not even looked at Bronny James, but until like one of the mocks that I follow, they put him on there at 35. I was like, oh, you know, and then everybody else has him 55. So anyway, so thank you, Ben, for joining me for this episode of Spurscast. I think we really got, you know, we dug into a lot of the prospects here from 4-8 and then also in the second round. So again, the NBA draft will be next Wednesday, Spurscast listeners. It'll be a 2-day event now. This is the new change for the Spurs. So, or for the NBA. So day one is on round one is on next Wednesday, and then round two is on next Thursday. So we'll see what happens with the Spurs if they keep those picks and they draft somebody. If they trade those picks, we'll kind of see what happens. So if you like what you heard on this episode of the Spurscast, please subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and your favorite podcast apps. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through your work with relevant, real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.